Good morning, everybody. This is Parshas Vayechi and Asara Beteves. So we're going to do something about Asara Beteves, the fast, as well as get to the Parsha. I want to mention and highlight that today's Shir is being dedicated on the Yurt site and to the memory of Bachar Aaron Michel Ben Gershon, Aaron Tomlin, Zichrono Livracha, whose first Yurt site is today, Asara Beteves. Aaron grew up in our Kehila in Thornhill in Toronto, was a very sensitive and special boy and young man, and he studied in, went to Eitz Chaim, to yeshivas and day schools in Toronto, and then he came to Israel and studied in various yeshivas. He was in the Mir for a while. He was in Or Sameach, in the Mir. And he was taken tragically a year ago. This is his first year at site, and the Shir is being sponsored by his mother, Beverly Tomlin Safso, and her husband, Rav Yosef Safso. Rav Yosef Safso was for many years the secretary of the Beis Din of the RCA, the Rabbinical Council of America, and has retired. All good rabbis retire and come to Eretz Yisrael. And Beverly was one of the 12 founding members of the Bayit, and was the first president of the sisterhood, if I'm not mistaken, something like that. The third president of the sisterhood, okay. And raised two beautiful children, Aaron and Yibarel Michayim L'Chayim Hanan, who is today Rabbi Dr. Hanan Tomlin, who is the dean of a major Torah, Hasidic Torah school in London. And we remember very fondly Aaron, a wonderful, special boy, and his memory should be for a blessing. And the family, Beverly, should only know simchas and good things, and he should have aliyas neshama, and in his schus, this shir is being given, and we should all grow from the Torah that we learn in his memory today. Asara Beteves, the 10th of Teves. So I want to share with you the source of this tainus, of this fast day, and it's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. And there's a difference of opinion between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon, which I want to explore with you a little bit. We'll go through the rabbi's comment, and I think we'll come up with something very special. So it's based on a pasuk in Tanakh, in the prophet, in Zechariah, and the Navi Zechariah says, Ko amar Hashem tzvakos, thus says the Lord of hosts, Tzom haravi, and he lists the four fasts that are established for the Jewish people. Tzom haravi, the fast of the fourth month, Tzom hachamishi, the fifth month. So we have Tammuz and Av, Tzom hashvi, Tishrei, Tzom ha'asiri, the fast of the 10th month, which is Teves. Yeah, those fasts, the prophet continues, Yihyeh lebeis Yehuda lesason ulesimcha. So you have them as fasts, but they will eventually become days of simcha. They'll become Yom Tov. Kari lehutzam, the kari lehutzason v'simcha. The prophet refers to them as a fast, and he also refers to them as days of joy and gladness. How so? Bizman sheyesh shalom, when there is peace, yulesason ulesimcha. They'll be for joy and simcha, and gladness. Ein shalom, if there's no peace, tzom, there'll be a fast. Amar Rav Papa, hachikomer. Rav Papa says, this is what you have to say. Bizman sheyesh shalom, when there's peace, yulesason ulesimcha, they'll be for joy. Yesh gezeras malchus, if we will be under the gun of foreign nations, tzom, there'll be a fast. Ein gezeras hamalchus, ein shalom. If there's no gzeres hamachash ve'ein shalom and no peace, ratzu misanim, ratzu ein misanim. You can fast, you cannot fast. So the Gemara here is discussing a whole other question, which we're not going to get into, whether they fasted and how they fasted between temples. where when we had the first temple, or when we, you know, was there fasting, even though the temple was going to be destroyed, right? When they had the second temple, we had the second temple. The first temple was already destroyed. Did they fast? So we're not going there. What we're going to is a few lines down. Amar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, the student of Rabbi Akiva, said, Arba dvarim haya Rabbi Akiva doresh, va'ani ein doresh kemosa. There are four things that my teacher Rabbi Akiva taught that I disagree with them, and this is one of them. And only one is mentioned here. Tzom haravi. So he says he's going through this pasuk. The explanation of this pasuk is where he disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. This is Rabbi Akiva's interpretation. Tzom haravi, the fast of the fourth month. Ze tes b'tamuz. This is the ninth day of Tammuz. Shabo hufka ha'ir. When the walls of the city were brought down, of Yerushalayim, Shenemar b'tisha l'chodesh, v'yechazak harav b'ir, v'lo haya lehem la'am ha'aretz, v'tivka ha'ir. Now, v'amai kari le'revi, why is it called the fourth? Revi l'chadoshim, it's the fourth month. Now, I must say that this is talking about the destruction of the first temple, which was on, not on the 17th of Tammuz, right? It was on the 9th of Tammuz. The second temple was the 17th of Tammuz. But it's six of one, a half a dozen of another, because the prophet is talking about prophetically the month, and he prophesied the 17th and the second temple. Although the Jerusalem Talmud, the Talmud Yerushalmi, records that it's the 17th of Tammuz in both temples, even the first temple. But that, be that as it may, the fourth is, let's say, Shivaser B'Tammuz. Tzom HaChamishi, the fifth, Zeh Tisha B'Av. This is the fifth month, this is Tisha B'Av. V'amai kar le'chamishi, why is it called Chamishi? Chamishi le'chadoshim, it's the fifth of the month. Shabo Nisraf Beis Elokeinu, it was on that day the temple was burnt. Tzom HaShvi, the fast of the seventh. Ze Gimel B'Tishrei, that's the third day of Tishrei. Shabo Neharag Gedalia Ben Achikam, Gedalia, the fast of Gedalia, the third of Tishrei. Point out that we also have a tradition, the Beis Yosef in the Shulchan Aruch says that it really happened on Rosh Hashanah, but you can't fast on Rosh Hashanah. In any case, the Gemara says it was the third of Tishrei, right? Tenth month, the seventh month. Umi Hargo, who killed him, Yishmael ben Nesanya, Hargo, lelamedcha, to teach you, sheshkula misasan shel tzadikim kesreifas Beis Elokeinu. The death of a pious person, of a tzaddik, is as awful and tragic to the Jewish people as the destruction of the temple itself. V'amai kari le'shvi, why is it called the seventh? Shvi l'chadoshim, it's the seventh month. Tzom ha'asiri, the tenth fast of the tenth, ze'asar b'teves. That's today, the tenth of Teves. Shabo samach melech Bavel al Yerushalayim. Where on that day, the king of Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, that he oppressed, he put his hand literally on Yerushalayim. He began the siege of Yerushalayim. Shenemar vayidvar Hashem, as the prophet says, the word of God, Eli b'shana ha'chis, in the ninth year, b'chodesh ha'asiri, the tenth month, b'asor l'chodesh, on the tenth of the tenth, tenth of Teves, lemor ben adam, k'sav l'cha Hashem hayom hazeh, etzem hayom hazeh, samach b'melech Bavel al Yerushalayim. That the king of Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, was samach. He started to put his weight on the city. It's interesting that the Rambam adds three words in the halacha when he says that samach melech Bavel al Yerushalayim. He adds veheviya b'matzor u'b'matzok, that he put the Jewish people under constraint and restraint. Why the Rambam adds those words and where he got them is not for us to discuss today, but something that requires further study, that the Rambam added those three words. We have a Masorah, we have a tradition that there are never extra words in the Rambam, which we've mentioned in the past in our discussion of Hanukkah, the laws of Hanukkah in the Rambam. But that's for further discussion. Right now, here is the presentation of Rabbi Akiva, that you have, the order is Shivaser B'Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, Tzom Gedalia, and Asar B'Teves, which is not chronological. Asar B'Teves happened first. It was the beginning of the destruction. So that's what he says. Va'amai kar le'asiria, asiri le'chadoshim. Va'halo, Rabbi Shimon says, hayaroi ze lichtov rishon. This should be mentioned first in the chronology of what happened. V'lama nichtav kan. Why is it mentioned here? Why does Rabbi Akiva say that the prophet is doing it this way? Kedei lahasdir chadoshim ketiknan. That he's putting them in our chronology. This is how we keep them. Right? This is the order of our year. So first we do Shivasa B'Tammuz, then we do Tisha B'Av, then we do Tzom Gedalia, and then we do Asar B'Teves. Vani, Rabbi Shimon now is talking, this is how he disagrees with his Rebbe, respectfully disagrees with his Rebbe. Vani Eini Omer Kein, I don't say it that way. Ella, I hold it has to be the chronology of their suffering. Ella, Tzom HaAsiri, you know what Tzom HaAsiri is? Tzom HaAsiri is Chamisha B'Teves. It's the fifth of Teves, afterward, a year after the destruction of the temple. At the time that the temple was destroyed, the year of the destruction, right? Shebo Shmua Legola Shehuksa Ha'ir. That was the day, the fifth of Tammuz, after the burning of the temple, was the day, the fifth of Teves. The fifth of Teves was the day that the news of the destruction of the temple came to us in Babylonia, in Bavel, that the temple, that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in Eretz Yisrael. Because that's the chronology of what happened. Shenemar v'yi b'shteyes reishana in the 12th year, ba'asirila, in the 10th month, b'chamisha l'chodesh, the 5th of the month, l'galotenu, when we were in Bavel, bo ela apalit mi Yerushalayim, somebody came from Yerushalayim, lemor, telling us, huksa ha'ir, the city was destroyed, v'asu yom shmua ki yom srefa, and the day that we heard this news was like the day of the burning of the temple. So then Rabbi Shimon concludes and he says, v'nirin dvarai midvarav. My approach to the chronology of Zechariah's prophecy makes more sense. Shani Omer al Harishon Rishon v'al Achron Achron, v'hu Omer al Harishon Achron v'al Achron Rishon, and he goes in reverse order. End of story. Ela Shehu Mona L'Seder HaChadoshim. He goes according to our chronology. V'ani Mona L'Seder Poronius. What's going on here? What's going on here? What is the machlokus? What is the difference of opinion between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon? In fact, Rabbi Shimon makes more sense. Rabbi Shimon is saying we go according to the chronology of the tragedy. That's what a tainus is. To feel, to get into the kishkas of Bnei Yisrael during the time of their suffering. How did they feel? The 17th of Tammuz, on the 9th of Av, on okay. So we've had some technical difficulties here with this shiur. Those who are here are aware of it. I don't know. I'm hoping that we're picking up at the right moment in the shiur. We're talking about the order of the fasts. So we see that Rabbi Shimon seems to make sense. When you fast, you go according to the order of how the events took place historically. And Rabbi Shimon makes a lot of sense. He's saying that it's not the 10th of Teves, it's the 5th of Teves, which happened chronologically afterwards, the day that the Jewish people received the news of the destruction of the temple. And Rabbi Akiva, you know, he says, no, we go according to our chronology. So, surprisingly, how do we paskin? We paskin like Rabbi Akiva. It's a Asar B'Teves. So how do we understand this? Rabbi Shimon really seems to make sense. To have a more meaningful fast, we should get into the experience of what Klal Yisrael went through on the days of fasting. And we should go according to their chronology. And yet, Rabbi Akiva says, no, we go according to our chronology, and that's the halacha. So we want to suggest the following. Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Shimon, you're right. You're right, Rabbi Shimon, But remember that verse, that pasuk that this is all based on? You're only dealing with the first part of the resha of the Krah. You're only dealing with the first part of the pasuk. That these days, that the 4th, the 5th, the 7th, and the 10th are fast days. But Zechariah the Navi goes on to say they will be turned into days of Simcha and Sason. They'll be turned into Yom Tovim. They'll be turned into days of joy. So how does that happen? So yes, you're right. The first part of the experience is the history, to feel the pain and the suffering of what Klal Yisrael went through. The first part of the Tainus is history. But it's not just history, his story, it's my story. We have to be mahapech. That's the second part of the pasuk, that these fast days will be turned into feast days, into Yom Tovim. And that is our chronology. That it's not enough, it's a beginning to feel their suffering. But we have to do something about it. It's not just about feeling the suffering, it's about resolving on the fast day with our fasting and our tzaka, our praying to Hashem, to resolve to improve the quality of our Torah learning and Torah living, so that we will make the bridge in our generation. We will see these days turned into Yimei Simcha. The Gemara Yerushalmi says that any generation in which the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, it's as if it was destroyed in that generation. So yes, we go according to our chronology, because ultimately it's we who will make the difference and turn these fast days into feast days. So Rabbi Shimon is not, Rabbi Akiva is not telling, he's telling his student Rabbi Shimon, you're not wrong, but you're only half right. You've got to take it to the ultimate. But that's a sort of a tevis. Okay, so now we're going to get into the Parsha a little bit. And I just want to present two ideas this morning from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in the Emes LeYaakov. So in the so-called bracha of Shimon and Levi, and Parshas Vayechi, we know that Yaakov Avinu gives a bracha to all of the Shvatim. And his bracha, somewhat of a bracha, not entirely a bracha, it's also a little bit critique of Shimon and Levi. Achalkem b'Yaakov v'afitzam b'Yisrael, that I will divide them and disperse them amongst the Jewish people. And what does that mean? So Rashi explains. They're going to be teachers. They're going to be malamdim and rebbes and Jewish educators. Ein lecha aniyim sofrim malamde tinokos ela mishimon kedeshiyu potzim and v'shifto shel Levi asu mechazer al hagronos letrumos u'maisres. The poor, underpaid Jewish educators of the Jewish people are going to come from Shimon and Levi. Levi will be going to begging at the granary for trumas and maisers, for tithes. What's this all about? So in a previous essay, Rabbi Yaakov writes, Biarti she'af she'bevadei hayakan onish neged Shimon v'Levi. This was clearly a punishment for what they did. They acted without their father in the episode of Dina, but they acted. And that's what made the difference here. We're going to see what he explains here very beautifully, very significantly, is the primary quality that a teacher of our children has to have, and that is passion. Mikol makom bedafka mina Yaakov et shvatim elu latafkidam na'alim elu. Dafka, from these tribes, they were appointed to the lofty position of being teachers of our children. Shel chinuch habonim, the educating of our children. Ushmirat tashmishei kedusha, and the guarding of our holy vessels in the temple. Ki rak Shimon v'Levi heru'u et hakana'ot hanidreshet shel hakezona ya'aseh et achotenu. Only Shimon and Levi, not the other brothers, stood up and said, how can we allow for our sister Dina to be disgraced? Rak heim nikru achei Dina. Only they were referred to as the brothers of Dina. Mishum shemasru nafsham alav. They were literally aleha. They literally were ready to give their lives for her. Ukedei lahatzliach b'misimot ke'elu. And here Rabbi Yaakov says, in order to succeed in these positions, to be a teacher, muchrachim limnot anashim shiyesh behen midat hakinaot u'mesirat nefesh l'Hashem u'l'Torato. We have to appoint people who have this zealousness, this passion for God and His Torah. Anashim shekesheroim davar parutz, that when they see something wrong, something amiss, something awry, miyad boer behen kinat Hashem, they immediately, a flame burns in their heart and soul that they have to do something about it. Vehem mitgayasim lemisima. And who are these people? This was Shimon and Levi. And that's their bracha, that they'll be the teachers of our children. Now there's a difference between zealotry and fanaticism. We're not, and that's what he's going to get into. Zealotry, which is built upon Torah, zealousness, and not quite fanaticism, but it's that passion that is necessary for a teacher of our children. I once heard from my Rosh Hashiva, Rav Ruderman Zatzal, and he said, the Rambam brings a halacha from the Gemara in Kiddushin that Talmidim Kruyim Banim. Our students are called our children. So he says, he commented, this is a very beautiful idea. It's poetic. Our students are called our children. But what is it? The Rambam is writing a Sefer Halacha here. What's the halachic ramification of the fact that our students are called our children? So he said very beautifully, very powerfully, that the halachic ramification is that if you are a teacher and you're standing in the classroom and you don't feel that these children are your children, that your students are your children, that you love them like your own children, you don't belong in the classroom. It's a very powerful idea. And that's what we're seeing from Shimon and Levi, who were the only brothers who felt passionately for their sister Dina. And that quality is necessary in order to transmit Torah from one generation to the next. Let's go on and see what he says. Va'amnam kisha'anu ma'ayanim lirot imachem kaimu Shimon v'Levi et tzivotam shel avihem hazakin. If we see whether Shimon and Levi did what they were supposed to do, anu roim sheshevet Levi be'emet mila et yudo v'tafkido b'chayim. Levi was successful, avol lo ken Shimon. Rak shevet Levi anu motziim she'amad kechoma b'tzura neged kol elu shekamu lahafer brit Hashem. Only Levi ultimately stood as a wall, a protective wall against the negative forces to Torah. Aval mishimon lo matzinu klum b'nogei l'inyin zeh. We don't see it by Shimon. Hatam l'zeh, the reason. Barur, clearly, Shevet Levi hayazeh shekibel petur mehavodah shel paro b'meshech kol shnot shibudah. Now this is important. This is important. Shevet Levi had a Petur, they had a draft exemption as yeshiva students to learn Torah. Shevet Levi were not drafted into Paro's service. Shebemeshech kol shnot shibudam, v'hu hayazeh sheyashev ha'asak b'Torah. Shevet Levi studied Torah. Keshekina'ot nimdedet umugbelet begidrei ha'Torah himatzlicha. When passion and zealotry is founded in Torah, when the base of my zealousness and my passion to stand up against injustice and evil comes from a Torah source, it was successful. Ulechen kisharo b'nei Levi et hachil Hashem hanora b'cheit ha'egel, that when the tribe of Levi saw the terrible desecration of God's name with the golden calf, miyad kinu et kinat Hashem, they immediately responded with zealousness and passion. V'hargu ishet echav, they killed their members of their own family. V'ishet kravo, the king. Kesheratzu b'nei Yisrael, kishahayu b'midbar lachzor l'mitzrayim, when there were Jews who wanted to go back to Egypt in the desert. Hayu elu b'nei Levi, sheyotzu chotzeitz neged mizimazu. It was Levi who went and fought against him. V'nilchamu negdan. And here we see b'chol hashanim she'avru me'az ma'aseh Dina va'ad yitziat Mitzrayim, all the years that passed from the story with Dina to the exodus from Egypt, hakina'ot she'bi'araba, that zealousness, that passion that burnt in their hearts, lo rak shelo nas licha v'lo pag takfa, not only did it not wane, did it not weaken, elehi hugdara v'chuzka al yidei esek ha'torah v'ha'iyun bo. Their passion became stronger and more powerful as every day of Torah learning brought more Torah, brought more passion. Umatzeh, on the other side of the coin, kinato shel Shimon, the passion of Shimon, we can call it the zealotry or the fanaticism of Shimon, avo b'li hadrach, but it was without any direction, b'li hagbala, without Torah. It was simply fanaticism. B'li hanhagat ha-Torah, without, it wasn't Torah-based. You know, Chachma B'goyim Tamin, Winston Churchill once said, what's a fanatic? A fanatic is someone who can't change the subject and won't change his mind, or won't change the subject and can't change his mind. So these people, the Shevet Shimon, their kanos was not Torah-based. So what happened? What happened? So matai yatsa lipol regesh hakanaot shelo, when did we see his fanaticism? Bebal pa'or, kishe Zimri ben Salu, he trees v'kina neged hanhagata ha-Torahnit shel Moshe Rabbeinu. Who was that? That was the prince of the tribe of Shimon who rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu, u'keneged midat hatzniut, and against all laws of reticence. Sheshalta b'Yisrael al-yidei maises nus b'farhesi, this terrible moment of public immorality. U'lechein raki nasa shel Pinchas, it was only the zealotry of Pinchas, mishevet Levi, came from Levi, Hamudrechet umugvelet l'fi gidri haTorah, which was Torah based, Yachal hakif et Zimri ulenatzcha. So here you have Levi stopping the zealotry, the zealousness of Levi, stopping the fanaticism, the negative fanaticism of Shimon. Va'yidei kach la'atzor et ha-negev, to put out the plague. And Rabbi Yaakov concludes, and we see the contemporary ring of this idea today. If we just read the newspapers, what's going on today in our societies, in Beit Shemesh, we were so embarrassed to see the events of a few crazies. What is happening? Kinaot she'ena mugderet lefi halacha. Kinaot that is not based in halacha, which is the contrary. It's contrary to halacha, and it's a chilul Hashem. Right? Ein bekocha lahatzliach, will never succeed. Ulasofo shel davar titrod et hamekaneh meholam. Ultimately, these people will be insignificant and will be marginalized. Rak gedolei Torah shebechol dor vador nitnu b'chush hacharif ledat ulahachlit matay tzrichim lekaneh v'limchot matay tzrichim lishtok. So it is only with Torah-based sense of passion that we know when to speak out, how to speak out, and when to be quiet, when to be silent, when not to speak. So clearly this has a unfortunately a temporary ring for us when we see today fanaticism of the worst kind, which is said in the name of Torah, but is certainly anything but done in the name of Torah. Okay, one final piece, also from Rabbi Yaakov. And when he gathers the brothers together, the Shvatim together, to give them their brachas. At first it says, Hey Asu Avagid Lechem, Hikapsu Vishamu Ushmu Bnei Yaakov. He gathers them all together to hear the brachas. So the Medrash points out something very interesting here. He didn't take each tribe, each brother, into a room and give them their bracha independently, singularly. The Medrash says, V'rabbonan Amri, the rabbis teach, Tziva Otan Al HaMachloket. He taught them, he exhorted them, against the notion of machlokas, of dissension. Amar lohon, he said to them, Kulan tiyu kulchan asifa achat, you'll all be one unified force. Bir Dvarim, what does this mean? Explains Rabbi Yaakov very beautifully. Dihine kfar biarti le'el, I've already explained, she'ikar kavanato shel Yaakov kodem predato me'olam, his goal in leaving, before leaving this world, hayal hashrish et ha'amuna b'geula ha'amitit, was to root in the people a sense of belief in the ultimate redemption. L'chein chilak l'kol echad mi'banav et tafkido. Each of the tribes were given their own different, each of the Shvatim had their own different, unique Melechen HaKodesh. V'yudo b'Eretz Yisrael u'b'chal Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, and preparing to enter Eretz Yisrael, and as the Jewish nation, the grand enterprise of Klal Yisrael. Each brother, kol echad kibel mimenu hadracha la'atid. Each one received his walking papers for the future. B'hatem l'kishunotav atido. Everything was commensurate with their each of their own unique and singular abilities. Klal Yisrael lefi machshevet Yaakov avinu. Klal Yisrael according to Yaakov's mind. Eino miyuad liyot ke'am echad b'li shum chilukei deot b'neihem. Yaakov understood that the Jewish people were not one size fits all. Every Jew has to be in a mold. Every Jew has his own approach. It has the same approach. No, ela adara, just the opposite. Tafkidam hu lachyot biyachad k'shneimesar shvatim nifradim. The goal was to live together in peace, 12 different but equal brothers and tribes respecting each other. Kol echad v'tafkido ha'ishi, each one with their unique task, aval kechelik bilti nifrad mehatzibur, but everybody together, part of the tzibur, part of the general community. Everybody's different. There are different approaches to Torah, as long as it's based on the ikrim, the principles of Jewish faith, that Torah is this core of our existence, right, and the divinity of the Torah. But there are different approaches to Torah. Lefi tzavato shel Yaakov, asur haya l'shevet echad l'hitarev b'tchumo shel shevet acher. According to what Yaakov's command was with the brachas, no tribe could enter into the duty and task of another tribe. Ki kol shevet nu'ad l'tafkid miyuchad. Each tribe was given his own unique task. And this is a classic historical example of this. In Hanukkah, which we just completed, where the Chashmonoim took over they were Kohanim, and they took over the Malchus. And they were not supposed to take over the Malchus. Shabo Mishavit Levi, Kisha the Chashmonoim, Kisha Laku as HaMalchus Liadeim, when they took the kingship, the seat, the throne of Malchus Beis Israel, ki tafkid hamalucha noad l'shevet Yehuda. It should have gone to Yehuda, v'lo l'acher, not to anyone else. On shem haya, tragically, what was the punishment of the Chashmonoim? Haya chamor ma'od. It was very bad. Ki halo zera Chashmonoim kala va'avad min ha'olam. The Chashmonoim were destroyed from the world. V'hakol rak mishum sheit arvu b'tchum shel shevet acher. And the reason why they were destroyed was because they went over the border from Shevet Levi to Shevet Yehuda. The Ramban goes into that in great length. Amnam kavishus karnu. Rabbi Yaakov continues. Aval pisha kol echad kibel tafkid miyuchad b'chayuma. So now he's explaining why, and perhaps I'll conclude here in my words instead of going through inside. Why were they all gathered together? Why weren't the brachas given to each brother individually? And this was why Yaakov did it this way, because he wanted each part of Klal Yisrael, each piece of the enterprise of the Jewish people, to see the uniqueness of the other. So everybody had to be there when the other received their bracha. Everybody saw the bracha that each one was getting. So they were all unique, but all part of a collective. And that is the significance of the way Yaakov gave the brachas, because that was his goal, that each one would function towards the fulfillment of the Jewish people, to bring about the ultimate gula ha'atidah, as he points out, the ultimate redemption. But the most important and most significant point, and which is, again, so, so contemporary for us today, is that every Jew has a different approach, and every Jew has to respect the approach of each other. And if we do that, we will bring about the Geula HaAtidah. And that is the goal here. As long as those approaches are based are Torah based, and in the divinity of Torah, there's lots of room for different strokes for different folks. And that really was Yaakov Avinu's intent here, that each of us should see ourselves as being very special, but also each of us should see ourselves as being just a number, a part of Klal Yisrael. And I'll just conclude with something that the Americans, perhaps of my generation, will appreciate. Have you ever heard of Jackie Robinson? Jackie Robinson was the first Negro, today we say Afro-American, to break the color barrier in Major League Baseball. He in the late end of the 1940s, he played for the Brooklyn Dodgers. He was the first Afro-American to play Major League Baseball. So you can imagine what was going on. And the day, what we don't know, what history doesn't record, is that he told his wife, when he went to work that day, he said, "You'll recognize me. In case you have trouble recognizing me, I'm number 42 on my jersey, right? So a brilliant statement from, you know, Chochma Bagoyim Ta'amin, from Jackie Robinson, even though he was someone very special, but he saw himself as part of a team. So that really is the bracha that we get for all of us in Klal Yisrael. This is the lesson. There was one other additional point I wanted to make, which is not on the sheets, and it is the enduring bracha of the Jewish people, which is in this week's parsha also. What is the enduring bracha of the Jewish people? What is the bracha that Jewish parents give their children every week? Yesimcha Elokim ke Ephraim v'chimnasha. May you be like Ephraim and Menashe, the grandchildren of Yaakov. And the Torah says, Becha Yevorech Yisrael. This is the bracha that Jewish parents give Jewish children every week, every generation, you know, throughout Jewish history. And the question is why? Why isn't the bracha of, say, Zvulun and Yisachar? Yisachar Zvulun is Torah study and business. Why isn't it Yehuda, Malchus? Why is it the enduring bracha of Klal Yisrael, the bracha of Ephraim and Asher? And there are many answers to this question, but I want to suggest one answer. What's the uniqueness of the bracha of Ephraim and Menashe? Sikel et Yadav. That Yosef knew who was the Bechor, but he very, very subtly switched his hands. He kept them in position, but he switched his hands. And he gave the non-Bechor bracha, non-firstborn Bechor bracha to the Bechor, and the Bechor bracha to the non-Bechor. The essence of a bracha, by the way, is not abracadabra. I want you to become the best doctor in the world, right? I want you to become the greatest baseball player in the world. A bracha is based on what the potential of that person is, that one has to be smart enough to understand the potential of every individual child. And the bracha should be that he should fulfill his potential. But sometimes we don't recognize our potential. And Yaakov is saying that the enduring bracha of the Jewish people is to fulfill your potential, to recognize that you can, to paraphrase another generation, Sesame Street, you can be what you want to be, you can learn what you want to learn, you can do what you want to do, right? You can, that's a Beferisha Sesame Street, right? That's what Yaakov is saying. Even though you're not the Bechor, you could become the Bechor. You have the potential within you for greatness in a certain area. Develop that potential. That's the enduring bracha of the Jewish people. Fulfill your potential. Look for your potential. You will discover that there are abilities that you have that you never thought you had. That's the bracha that every parent gives to a child. That's the enduring bracha of Klal Yisrael. Thank you, and have a wonderful week.